I'm taking this from the book of Luke, and Luke is a doctor. And doctors love details. Ever been to the doctor and they check your heart and they check this and they check that, and they're always looking for the details, the little things. And Dr. Luke is that way. He is a detailed person. And so we're going to do things a little bit differently today. Again, this is what God gave me, so we've got to roll with it. I can't change God's mind on this. So we're going to do things a little differently. I've asked my beloved, my husband, of 43 years. We celebrated this year, 43 years. Thank you. I call him my beloved. Whenever he calls me, I answer the phone and say, "It's my beloved." And I do love him. Would you come and read the scripture for the morning's message?
Morning. A couple of years ago, I got talked to by, back when I was in seminary, I guess, and I discovered the English Standard Version of the Bible. And I've been reading from that on a regular basis, and I got converted over to it. So we're going to read this morning from the book of Luke, chapter 2. In the ESV, if you have your version, it doesn't matter. It all says the same thing. So in that note, chapter 2, verse 8 of the book of Luke says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from him into heaven, the shepherds said to them one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God, for they all had heard and seen it, as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb.
May God add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, you're probably thinking, "Okay, Pastor, you've been in New Mexico. I think the heat got to you. We're doing Christmas in August." Yeah. That's, again, what the Lord gave me. Christmas in August. I've entitled this "Count Your Blessings," and you'll see why in a moment. Again, as I said, Luke is a detail guy. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Jewish person. He was a Greek. We think he was Greek. He wrote this from a different viewpoint. He wrote this from a different standpoint, most likely from a doctor's standpoint, with all the details. You heard a bunch of details here: the angels, the shepherds, the light, what the angels said, all of these things, all of these details. And as I was reading this and looking at it, I saw one thing that seemed to me, at least initially, to be a little out of place. That one verse that says, Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. That's the New International. Pondering them and treasuring them in her heart. To me, that could have been placed a little further down. It could have been preceding these verses, could have been in a lot of different places in the way I was thinking. But Luke pops it in just at the end of all of this description of the angels and everything, and it stood out. It's kind of like a, when did they put that in there, kind of thing. So I began to think about it. I picked up on this little detail. When you're a doctoral student, you learn to do details. I picked up on this, and I looked at the two words that they use, that Luke uses. Mary treasured and Mary pondered. So I took these words and picked them apart a little bit. Went to my dictionaries, went to my concordances, went to all my books in my office, all those different things. And I looked up these words, treasured. It gives us the idea of Mary remembered. Mary remembered all of the things that happened prior to Jesus' birth. And even in Jesus' birth, there was a lot of things. Her visit to Elizabeth, her visit with the angel beforehand when the angel told her she was going to bear a son. She remembered all these things. She treasured them. She couldn't forget them. And we've all had experiences where something has happened and we can't forget it. We will never forget it. Good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever it is. We have these things that happen to us that are we're not ever going to forget. You know, maybe the day we got married, maybe the day we had our firstborn, maybe the day, you know, whatever that day was. Something tragic happened, something funny happened, whatever it is. You can remember that. You can tell those stories. You have treasured them in your heart, just like what Mary did. She treasured them. The stories, the events, she knew about these things. The other word is pondered. I had a little more difficulty with this one because it has a lot of different meanings, but I think what the scriptures are putting out here on pondering is it, and one of my commentaries kind of focused on this, and I liked it. Pondering is putting together all of the details, like finding all the, connecting the dots kind of thing. When something happens, very often we will look at the backstory, the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. All those little details that brought it about. No doubt Mary put it all together. You know, I saw the angel. He told me I was going to be a mother. I was going to carry the Son of God. I didn't have a clue. How could I do this? I've never been with a man. The Holy Spirit's going to do this. All of the things that led up to this, visiting her cousin Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth's womb jumping, leaping because she heard Mary's voice. He heard Mary's voice. The prayers, the songs. Mary was putting all these things together. She was connecting the dots. And then the shepherds come along, and all these things happen to the shepherds. And no doubt they told Mary what happened. This is what happened. God showed us. God came, angels, all these angels happened, and all the light, and the angels said to us, and here we are to worship Jesus and to find him, and all of these different things. Mary began to put all these things together. She pondered these things. She connected the dots. She built up on the memories. Yes, I remember it, but I look back and I see the fingerprints of God leading to this. So she remembered the event. She remembered everything that happened to her. She treasured it, and she pondered it. It's kind of like today what I like to do is I have pictures. I love my pictures. My husband will tell you I'm a pictureaholic. I've got photo albums all over the place before digital. I've got thousands of digital pictures. I just love my pictures. Those are my memories. Those are the things I treasure. And as I look at them, very often I will connect the dots with those pictures. I say, yeah, I remember that event because this happened and that happened and that happened to bring about that event. So that's what I believe that Mary did. It was important for Mary to do that, to review the story. She didn't have Instagram. She didn't have a journal. She didn't have email, any of these things that we have today to help us remember. I forget so easily, especially as old, I'm getting older, and I forget so many things. Mary didn't have that. She had to remember. She had to treasure, and she had to ponder these things. There were so many things. The challenge for me is to be like Mary, to treasure these things and to ponder these things. And I think we, as a society, as a group, often forget to do this. We go about our daily lives. We move from job to home to whatever we do in the evenings, recreation, weekends, vacations, all of these sort of things, and we keep going and we keep going. And sure, we have the memories, and sure, we can ponder them and connect the dots and everything, but what do we do with them? What do we do with them? Well, part of the Second Great Awakening began something called testimonies. If you study church history, you see that the First Great Awakening in the early 1700s, then you have the Second Great Awakening with Finney, Charles G. Finney, and the likes of Lyman Beecher, and these great preachers. And one of the things that they began to do in these services to encourage people was institute the testimony. And a testimony is simply telling a story. In a court of law, testimony is telling the truth. In church, our testimony is telling what God has done for us, encouraging each other with our testimonies. The scriptures tell us to encourage one another and build each other up. And our generations, we're supposed to do it between generations. We're not supposed to do it just you and me, the same age, the same person. We're supposed to do it with each other, with everyone, our generations. From one generation, we'll commend your works to another. One generation will praise God, praise all that you've done, God, to another. Those are scriptural things. So, as you take a memory, as you take something, treasure it, remember it, something that God has done for you, ponder it, put those little details together. Don't be afraid to share it. We've kind of lost the art of the testimony. When my husband and I got saved in the mid-70s, it was near the end of the Jesus revival, kind of a miniature revival that swept across the land, and we got saved in it. And it seemed like every Sunday we had at least one or two testimonies, sometimes four or five or six of them. And it was good to hear what God was doing in people's lives. It encouraged us because we were so new in the faith. We were just baby Christians. We needed to hear those things. We needed to be encouraged, as the scripture tells us. So I thought about this and thought about treasuring and thought about pondering and thought about testimonies. And I thought, you know, I think we need a testimony time. We need a time when we can encourage each other. We've just gone through a great series. Pastor Ray has preached his woke series, and it's been really good. And we've had lots of things going on in our country that we could gripe about. We could, but there's so many things that God has done for us in our lives. So many positive things. So I'm going to start with my testimony, one of the little pieces of my testimony. And Pam, if you'll pop that picture up real quick. That is our grandson, Jameson Quinn. We give glory for him. I think he's kind of good looking. I think he's cute. I think he's adorable. He's the perfect baby. He's, you know, I'm a biased grandmother now. I have to be, right? So that's our little guy. And as I put the pieces together, as I pondered this, it took us a while to even have Sam. We had 15 years of trying to get pregnant, trying to have our son. And it was a long process, a lot of miscarriages, a lot of sorrow, a lot of all of that. But we finally began to get pregnant. And the funny part of that story is we had a friend of ours in our church that we were just being in, that we weren't pastoring or anything at that point. She walked up to me and she said, "Hey, I had a dream about you." And I said, "Really?" She says, "Yeah, I dreamed that you were pregnant and that you had a boy." And I looked at her, and this was before I knew I was pregnant, and I said, "Yeah, well, you keep that dream. Share it with somebody else, not with me. I'm not pregnant, haven't been pregnant, haven't gotten pregnant, probably never will," you know, how big my faith was. And A couple of weeks later, I began to feel a little different, you know. You just know those things. There's something wrong, something different. Went to the doctor, and sure enough, I was finally pregnant. We had Sam. He's grown up. He's now married. He has his son. That's my pondering and my rejoicing. That's my pondering and my putting it together, my treasure. So we have others who have stories. Beloved, would you come and share one story that we've had together in Missouri when he was going through seminary? We had an incident happen that, you know, we can put those little fingerprints together and see how it put together and see how what happened at the end.
I'm going to give you the background story to it first. We were pastoring in Connecticut for a while, and a couple came to me for counseling. I had no idea what I was doing. I hadn't had any training in counseling, and I tried to help them, but it didn't work. And I said, you know, we need to go back to school and get some counseling experience. And we tried to put the house on the market, and in a year we got 12 lookers, if that many. Just came in, nope, that's it. We figured, okay, it was the wrong direction. And about a year and a half later, a friend of ours passed away. He left us some income. I said, well, maybe it's time now. And we put the house on the market, and the first day it was officially on the market, it sold for more than we asked for. It was amazing timing. So we went off, we bought a fifth wheel travel trailer with the rest of the proceeds from the house. Every other bill was paid off. We bought this trailer so we could live in it and travel around and use that as our place of living in Missouri. We were going to school. And we got a wonderful place to live right near the Kohl's store where she worked, right near the Home Depot where I worked. It was very, very convenient. Everything fell in place. And then Christmas morning, we wake up. The whole trailer is shaking. And I said, what is that? I went in the kitchen and had this one of the little heater fan under the counter. It was provided the heat for the whole trailer. And it was going, had to shut it off because the bearings just went to pieces on it. Oh, man. One, we didn't need that. And we had bought insurance for the trailer when we bought it. Insurance was going to take care of everything went wrong. They said, sure, bring it down here. We'll fix it for you. I said, we live in it. I can't go dragging it down and leave it in your shop for a week. I'm living. Oh, sorry, we can't help you then. That wasn't a good thing. So I'm wondering, okay, how are we going to... I finally found some guy for the trailer park that could come in and fix it. $300. Now, we were going to school. There was no $300. And on top of that, right around this... right around the same time, we were going on the road with the truck. Hit the brakes. The whole truck shakes like crazy. Took it in the shop. They said, oh, your rotors are cracked. We can't let you even drive this thing any further. Repair bill, $1,200. The next week we get this check in the... we get this check in the mail for $1,500.
God provided. God provided. Amen. You heard the fingerprints, how it all got put together. That mortgage company ended up going under, and a judge ordered them to pay everyone who had held a mortgage with them a certain amount of money, and ours was at just the right time. We treasure that memory. We can tell it over and over and over again. We share that memory often with people. God does provide. May not always provide when we think he should, but he does provide. At that time, it was a cold Christmas morning. It was tough not having our own truck. But God definitely, definitely provided. Doris Ebert, are you here? Yeah. I met Doris really over the phone. I haven't really known her very well, but I met her over the phone. Pastor Ray gave me a list one morning and said, I need you to do some follow-up calls for me. And Doris was on my list. And so I called her up and introduced myself, and she knew me, and I kind of knew her. And we got to talking. This was more than just a follow-up, I'm sorry you missed service kind of thing. It was, we got to know each other. We kind of bonded, I would think. And she shared with me a couple of cool stories that really got us thinking about this kind of service. So, Doris, would you share your story?
I just hold this?
Yes, just hold it nice and close.
Well, this is a pleasure for me, and I just praise God for it. But before I start, I'm going to read a scripture verse. Just let me know when I'm not doing this right. All right, it is in Psalm 145, verse 3 and 4. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. And this goes right along with what Pastor Sid said. We should pass these things that happen from generation to generation. I remember when I first started going to Calvary Assembly, it was on South Grand Street, probably back in the early 70s. And we had older generation there, quite a few of them. I was young at that time. And they would share an awful lot of things that happened in their life that God did for them. That's really spoke to my heart so deeply. And through the years, when different things would happen in my family, I would look back at what these brothers and sisters had to say and how the Lord worked in their heart. And I believed it. I believed it. In my head, I believed it. But when something happened in my life, it went down from my head into my heart, and I truly believed. So I'm going to start with that. I've got two testimonies. One is back in the 70s and one is up into the 80s. But the one that happened in the 70s was quite meaningful to my heart, and I ponder it in my heart to this day. And I think, Lord, why me? Who am I that you'd be such a blessing? Well, at this point, we were living in Summit. We had a farm down in the valley under where Bear Gulch Road, Bear Gulch, it was Bear Gulch Road, but the Bear Gulch Lake was up above, and it fed a stream that was in behind our house, so naturally it ran all year long, and there was a lot of water in the creek, stream, creek, whatever it is. But anyhow, it was my son and myself. It was in midwinter, almost spring, but it was very, very cold yet. And it was just two of us that were there home that day. Everybody else in the family was elsewhere. It was cold. It was very cold, because up here in the north, it is cold at that time of the year. But my son went outside. He was in his mid-teens, I'd say about 15. I didn't ask him what he was going out for, because he went out all the time. And it was his day off from school. And I stayed in and I was reading. And as I was reading, and this is the first time this ever happened to me, it was a wonder. It was the inner voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. Now, if I have to stop once in a while, it still touches my heart. And a voice said to me, which I never experienced this before. I'd only received the baptism in the Holy Spirit maybe a year or two before. I was saved at 20, but it took 18 years before I even found out about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So nonetheless, I'm reading, and all of a sudden I hear this voice. I know it was down in my heart, but it was almost as if he was speaking to me. And he didn't say it in sentences. He just said this, "Stephen," which is my son's name, "the tractor and the bridge." I didn't know what to think about that. I sat there for a minute because I never had that experience before. Then it came to me much stronger. I thought, well, something's happening. And so I got my coat on. And I went out, and where our house was, you couldn't see the creek from there. You couldn't see anything. There was a barn and a silo there. So I walked between the silo and the barn, and I saw him on the bridge with a tractor. The back left wheel was not totally on the bridge. Half was off the tire, half was on. And he was there trying to know what to do. Didn't come in and say anything to Mom, because knowing how young boys are, they just figure, well, I can do this. Well, God knew we couldn't do this. So he said, "Mom, Dad asked if I would bring the tractor over and put it by the barn when he left for work this morning." And it's not that he wasn't used to driving the tractor, because we had haying, we had other things we did, we had beef cows. And so he said, "I can't do anything right." And I said, "Stephen," I said, "wait till I tell you what happened." So I said to him, I said, "God loves you." I said, "He told me exactly what was going on out here." And I said, "We will get the tractor off." Well, any of you that have had tractors, you know that if you're sitting up on top of it, you really don't know just if you're in that kind of a situation, just how close the wheel would maybe be to the edge. And he apparently made too soon of a cut or something to get onto the bridge. I don't know which side the tractor had been on when he was trying to get it on. But anyhow, half of the tire was on the bridge, half was off. And he just was so beside himself. And I said, "Never mind." I said, "We're going to get it off." I said, "I can tell you how to turn it." And I said, "Don't think of backing up. Don't think of doing anything." I said, "You just turn that tractor more to the right." And I said, then the wheel got up onto the bridge. So that is that one. And you know, that spoke to my heart so much, that because I know that God sees everything we do. He sees us when we get up in the morning. He sees us when we sit down. The Bible tells us that he knows everything. And that was something I knew. But when I experienced that he really does. He really sees us. He really... everything we do, everything we think, everything we say, he's here right here. So I just want to encourage us in that. And I think that if we would tell each other what things God has done for us in our lives, it builds up your faith. Well, I ponder that even to this day, and that was a long time ago, and today he's 60 years old, so that was a long, long time ago. And then I'll tell you another one, and I could be here all day with telling you different things, but I'm just going to say this one more thing. This happened in July 10th, 1989. That date I will never forget either. We had sold the farm, and we moved to House Cave. House Cave Road was an older home. And we had gone somewhere that morning, and we came home. It was about 1:30 or so in the afternoon, a hot, humid, sultry July day. We got home and I made some lunch. It was close to 2 o'clock. And we sat down there at the table, and all of a sudden, in my heart, I heard, something bad is going to happen, and it's going to be a tornado. Well, I've never been a tornado in my life, or knew anybody that was, but I knew they were bad. And I looked at my husband, wish I could see his face today, and I said, we're going to have a tornado. I was just told we're going to have a tornado, and he looked at me like I lost it. And I said, well, I'm not sitting here. I said, so I got the two dogs, and we had a closet off of the kitchen. And I said, I'm going in the closet with the dogs. Are you going to come? And he said, no. And as soon as I closed that door, the tornado hit. It was unreal. When they say it sounds like a train, it does. But the rain beat horizontally against the back of the house. It was unbelievable. And as fast as it comes, it goes. But it leaves an awful lot of destruction behind. My husband is in the other room. I didn't come out of that closet yet. And he's saying to me, where are you? I said, I'm in the closet praying, and that's where you should be. And he said, well, there's water upstairs coming in. And so I said, so get all the towels you can get. So I did. I came out, and I went up. And on this house, we had the storm windows, but it's not the kind that you have today. These you put on every year. And we never took them off that part of the house. That was the part that faced the railroad tracks that go in House Cave. So I don't know whether it's the west or whatever it is. I'm not good at that. So anyhow, when I went to with the towels and that, the water between the window and the storm window was like that much in between. That's how powerful that rain was when it came. It beat right into the sides of the window. So that's where the water was getting in. We did lose a couple of the metal roof. We moved a couple of that. We lost the electric service that came on the side of the house. And we lost between 30 and 40 trees. Big trees, uprooted, not just blown over, uprooted. Looked out the window, and what a mess on that whole road. Then I read in the paper that a house blew on top of a car, but thank God nobody was killed. There was really no injuries. It was a miracle, but it came down. Howe Caves Road went over to at the name of that road that goes over there, Wetzel Hollow. Then it went over to the Schoharie Hill Road, right on down. I don't know if there might be some around here that have lived here at that time and maybe even saw all this. It was devastating. Even took tops off of silos that were on the Schoharie Hill Road, and they couldn't even find the bricks. That's how powerful it was. So there, I'm just telling you this because nothing happened to us, thank God. Everything was fine. We did whatever we had to do. We had enough wood for 4 years to burn in the stove. It was that bad. And one of those trees was a weeping willow that it would take probably 2 or 3 men around in order to get the circumference of that tree. Uprooted it totally and completely. It's just amazing to me, because I would think to myself when I ponder it in my heart, why me, Lord, would you reveal these things to me before they even happened? I mean, I don't feel, you know, I'd say, Lord, I don't feel worthy of that, that you would really say that, particularly to me, when there's other things that happen to people. But it just spoke to my heart, and that's why I wanted to share these two things. And I had shared them with Sid over the phone that day, and she said, and I said, you know, people really have to hear these things. I said that we read about them, or we'll see something on the television, but when it really happens to yourself, you know that God is there. He's always with us. He watches everything you do. And that amazes me. It is amazing grace. Amazing grace. So I just want to share one little thing. So this is what I say about the scripture verse. One generation shall praise your works, O God, to another. We have to tell our children, our grandchildren, so it can go right on down through the years. God does do things. It's not just that he will, he does. And I've told these two events several times to people, and people say, oh, you were lucky. Oh, my goodness. What a coincidence, or what a this or that. And I said, after those things, I says, there is no such thing for a true believer to believe in coincidence or luck. It's God, and it's only God. And I give him all the praise and glory, and I thank you, Sid. Thank you.
Thank you, Doris. Thank you. Thank you very much, Doris, for sharing that. And I have to admit, after she shared that one about the tornado with me, I don't live too far from where she used to live, or where you still live. I don't know if you still live there or not, but I don't live too far from there. I'm not sure I like the idea of a tornado in my neighborhood. So we've heard some stories. We've heard the thinking about them part. We've heard the pondering part. I wonder if any of you have any stories, and if you do, would you like to share them? I want to open it up to you. You can come here, and you'll be on the live stream, or you can sit there, raise your hand. My husband will bring you the microphone and share. I'd like to hear some of your stories, whatever they may be. Anyone? This is your time.
If you wish. All right. I'm going to try and summarize a 30-minute story into 5 or 6 minutes. Oh, okay. I went to Pleasant Valley Methodist Church in Pleasant Valley, New York, which is near Poughkeepsie. And we wanted to expand the church to put a fellowship hall and office area in. The church was really small, couldn't do anything. So we wanted to do that. So we made plans and had a lot of commitments to do something, and then we started to do the work. You know, we started out, and it went well for the first 3 or 4 months, and then the people started falling away. Some of the others, the commitments didn't come through, and it wound up that it was down to just two of us working on this building, trying to construct a large building with just two of us, Dell and myself. And after about a year and a half, it's still only partly finished. Now, as we had made plans in the very beginning, one of the ideas was, well, a Beacon prison crew would come out for 2 weeks and help us out for just 2 weeks. That was their thing, as they went and did graveside cleanup, roadside cleanups, and would do a 2-week project. And I kind of thought in the planning stage, well, that's nice, but in this large scheme of things, how's that going to really work? You know, a little help in a big project. So they came out for those 2 weeks and did a few little things. But meanwhile, we're down to just two people making very slow progress. You know, we were there most nights of the week and the weekends.
And so it's kind of, I was also the finance chairman there, and we were running out of money. So you begin to wonder, how long can we take this? Because the financials are going downhill. And with a congregation of 10 or 12, there was no possible idea this is going to help. Well, then, the Beacon crew that had come out had liked it so much compared to their other jobs. They had convinced the parole board to let them come out for a second stay. And this time they came out with a person that knew construction, and so he was able to guide that prison crew. So they came out for another 2 weeks, was what the plan was. And then it became 2 more weeks, and 2 more weeks, and 6 months to the finish. And so because of that prison crew coming out, we got quality plumbing because they had a plumber come in. They got quality electric because they had an electrician come in as part of the crew and help guide the rest of the prison crew. And they had a carpenter come in, and so we have great trim and great bookcases. This was not our plan. This was God's plan, implementing our dream. Thank you.
More treasuring and pondering.
Got to share this really quick, then I got to head out. I have a wedding to get to. But one of the best things that ever happened to me is when God touched my appendix and made it explode. It was amazing. So a number of you probably remember that about 2.5 years ago, my appendix ruptured. A couple of dead giveaways. I had no appetite for dinner. I always have an appetite for dinner. And I decide to sleep it off. I wake up around 11 o'clock in excruciating pain. I'm like, that's probably not good. You know, I have a friend of mine, Josh. He asked me where the pain was. He was going into pharmaceuticals, so he knew about human anatomy. I said, well, it's right about here. He's like, oh, you're probably fine. Don't worry about it. I did worry about it. I convinced someone to take me to Unity Hospital. And they're like, we got there around midnight. I got admitted by 2, spent the night there. They said, yeah, your appendix is swelling, you know, nothing good's going to come of that. So we're going to put you in, you're going to be the second surgery of the morning. I'm like, okay. So I spent the night there, you know, talked with some of the nurses. It was, you know, they were all good people doing their jobs, doing them well. Around 8 o'clock, something happens. It was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And that is around when I think the appendix did rupture. And they were getting me into pre-op. And my brothers live in Rochester, and they had gotten to the hospital by that time. And my brother David was in the pre-op with me. And now I was shaking. I was in excruciating pain. It was less painful to throw up than it was to just sit there. It was awful. But I have 102.3 fever. I'm shaking. I can't get anything. I can't, like, think about anything. And then the nurse nonchalantly asks, so tell me about your family medical history. Good thing David was in the room. My brother David was in the room. And he could tell, like, okay, he can't answer. But and David was able to answer for me. But basically, you know, they got the appendix out, and it was fine. You know, it did rupture. But it was more the week after that I spent in the hospital recovering that was really cool. I mean, first off, I had friends who were willing to take me to the hospital. I had my brothers there who were able to answer questions. And then I had so many people come into the hospital to visit me. At one point, my hospital room had 15 people in it. This was before COVID. So, like, by 2 weeks. This was 2 weeks before everything went down. But it was so cool because I had people come from home. One of my friends, she drove literally 4 hours just to say hi. And then also, by God's sovereignty, my grandmother, my maternal grandmother, actually lives at the senior community at that hospital campus. So my mom was able to stay with her and with me all week and would kind of like visit me every single day. So it was really good because it had me slow down. Kind of derailed my plans a little bit, and I have one distinct memory of reading John 5. It was Jesus about to heal the man at the pool of Bethesda, or Bethsaida, whichever Bethsaida? Okay. And I had this real thought, like, oh my gosh, if this had happened in Jesus' day, I would have died. And it kind of made me realize, maybe I should, you know, kind of reprioritize some things. But it was one of the best things that could have happened to me because it really showed me how much I was loved. It forced me to rethink how I spend my time and made me love God a lot more, I guess. So this is a thought, one final thought. My dad is fond of sharing this. You can't explain the problem of suffering, the problem of evil easily. But a God who sends his son to die in our place can only have our best intentions at heart. So that's something to hold on to when things don't go well. All right. Have a good one, everybody.
Amen. Anyone else? Anyone else? Jump up and down. Come on.
I have like two from China that have the same theme. One time we were in a different city than we were living in Asia, and we were on a trip, and we went into this leather shop, and there was this guy who looked like an Asian Indiana Jones, and I just got this impression. I was like, he needs to know the love of Christ. I didn't speak any Chinese, but my leaders did. So we went over, and I told them, and they started translating, and he was like the eunuch in the story with, I think, Philip. And he was like, yeah, I've been reading, but I don't know what any of this means. And so we like prayed with him and he became a believer. And the second story was we went to lunch with another girl over there. And I could just tell she was like weighted down with anxiety and depression. And we shared the gospel with her, and she was like, how could someone love us this much to die for us? And we're like, he just does. And we prayed for her, and for the first time in her life, she never felt anxiety. Yeah, and so from those two like testimonies, I just remember how God sees people, and he's always with us, and so, yeah.
Amen. Very cool.
So I don't know if everybody knows me, but my name is Katie, and I'm married to Cody over there. And when we started dating, about a week in, God told me that I was going to marry him. And that's something that you like hear other people say, but that's never going to happen to you. And then it does. And that was the first time I had ever heard God speak to me so clearly, too. And then I sat there for 2 months and went, was that God or was that in my head? And finally decided I was just going to accept it because I hadn't heard no. And I was talking to Pastor Mark a week later, and he goes, yeah, I could have told you that, but God told me I had to wait till you realized it yourself. So that was just like a faith builder for sure for me, because I had never heard God, and then to have such a big life thing be told to me and to have it then confirmed because I'm a questioner. It was very just faith building for me. And then to go on, because I was a freshman in college, we were not getting married anytime soon. I had just met this guy. But now we've been married almost a year and a half. So it's fun to see God work and see the little fingerprints all the way through our story.
I just have a quick little story. Emily, my daughter Emily, lost her flute. Well, you know how expensive flutes are, right? I'm thinking, oh man, we have to buy another flute. And I got that word of knowledge, like the lady shared, it's in so-and-so's backpack. And I thought, in so-and-so's backpack? How do you go about that? So, and I don't remember all the details. Apparently, I have not pondered this long enough. Or I've forgotten, whatever. But anyway, that's where it was, in that other girl's backpack. And they found it. So, yeah. So now we didn't have to buy another flute. So.
Yes. Amen. Anyone else? Yes. Mr. Garner.
God doesn't wait for you to know him before he knows you. I was 12 when I had a farm accident with my left hand. I didn't get to know the Lord until in my 20s. I don't even remember how old I was, doesn't matter. But I had this farm accident with my left hand, which, as you can see, I still have a left hand, and it functions. At the time of the accident, there was about a half an inch of skin on the backside of my hand that held my hand to my rest of my body. That was it. So my parents took me to the hospital here in Cobleskill, and it just so happens that a surgeon had just joined Cobleskill Hospital a few months before that. He came out of the Army. He was an Army surgeon. So he knew the problems there are with such stuff. But he put my hand back together. He had to connect bones, he had to connect veins, he had to connect tendons, he had to connect nerves. I don't know how long I was in the hospital, how long I was under in the surgery. But the point is, he did it. And God put that surgeon there just in time for my hand. My understanding is that my hand, my left hand, is the first time in medical history in this country that anything so damaged had ever been saved. And God put that surgeon there just for my hand. So then, some number of years ago, I said, I need to find this guy. He had retired years before. I said, I need to find this surgeon and thank him for what he did. And I spent years trying to find him. And I finally found him living up on Mineral Springs Road in Mineral Springs. And I went and knocked on his door. And his wife comes to the door. And I said, I'm looking for so-and-so. And he comes walking out from the back room. And I said, 50 years ago, you saved my hand with your skills. And he broke out into tears. He remembered the situation. And the best part of it is that 3 months later, he passed. I was able to find him and thank him for what he did before. And it brought tears to his eyes.
Thank you, Lord. I don't know about you, but I feel very encouraged today. Last call. Anyone else? Come on.
So, I also met my wife on our trip to China. So that's a blessing in itself. But among many other blessings, we had an experience that my teammate and I, we had plans with a friend for dinner, and my teammate forgot. So he decided, oh, I'm going to go get this other guy dinner. I was like, I just felt like the Lord really wanted me to go to dinner with this one dude. So I was like, all right, I'm going to go. We've met this guy for a lot of different occasions and stuff, so we're pretty good friends. I can't just leave him hanging. So we get dinner, I ask him how school's going. He's a freshman, and he's just like, I'm just so overwhelmed. There's just so much I need to learn, and I can't remember anything. And I'm like, oh, dang. We spent all semester with this kid sharing the gospel and sharing what the Lord has done and everything, and I was like, he doesn't remember a thing. And I ask him, I'm like, do you remember anything that we've shared with you? He's like, oh my gosh, yeah, Jesus. And he shared the gospel back to me. And I'm like, you can't remember your school, but you remember Jesus. That's great, sure. And we're sitting there having dinner, and he looks at me, and he's like, Nick, is it too late? Can I have a relationship with Jesus? And I like started to cry as we're having dinner there, and I was like, of course, yeah, like right now. He's like, what do I need to do? Can we like, do I need to call? Like, I was like, no, we just pray. We just gotta pray right here, and you can accept the Lord. And that's one of like the most, one of the most impactful moments of our trip, that I was just able to like, the Lord spoke to me so clearly, just go meet this guy, don't let him get away. And just to have him, like the only thing he remembered was the Lord. He had such a hard time with school and just like getting through everything, but now he has the Lord and he's able to just have a great life.
Cool. We could spend the rest of the evening, the rest of the afternoon into the evening doing this. And I think I would like to do this again sometime, anytime, whenever there's a testimony. Don't be afraid to ask Pastor Ray, hey, I want to share something. I know he's open to it. I know he's very open to it. I think we've been encouraged today. We have been encouraged in our most holy faith. We've shared stories. We have rejoiced in them. We have pondered them. We've thought about them. Put those little details together, and we have been encouraged today. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about all of these cool things that God is doing in our midst, from times past to times fairly current. God is good. Amen? Amen. 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 So, do we have anything else that need to be done? Are we doing missions today? Are we doing that next week? What's, do we know? Okay. Pam, are you doing the little video clip? Okay. Good. Okay, well, technology, sometimes you love it and sometimes you don't, and that's okay. Well, why don't we stand, and we will close in singing the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Kurt, would you mind starting it?
God from whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures here below, praise him above the heavenly host, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Father, thank you for this time when we have been encouraged. We have rejoiced with our brothers and sisters in all that you have done in our lives, all that you have taught us, all that you have given us, all that you have blessed us with, all that you have done for us. We thank you for that, God. And I pray that as we go, Lord, that you would just be with us, that you would help us to share these things with others, Lord, and not keep what you have done in our lives secret. I thank you and I praise you for this time. I do pray for Pastor and Hannah as they'd return home. I pray that you'd give them a safe traveling mercies. For Giselle as she returns home, give her traveling mercies as well. I do pray for Jay, lawyer, and for others who need your touch, Lord. I thank you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Go into your mission field and be salt and light.